Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, kid.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to the brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. Sorry, a little late this week. Forgot what happened. Monday, I was in Houston last weekend, and then I had tickets to go to Universal Studios. So I took my daughter. I got free tickets because I know a comedian.
Once again, we come in second place to your daughter. My God. What kind of a parent are you?
I wish you were a parent. I feel like you'd be the funniest parent ever.
Can I tell you something? I was thinking about this today. Every time I see a parent, like, I think the idea of having kids looks wonderful. You love your kids. I feel like there's no other kind of love you'll ever feel in your life like you have for your children. At the same time, every single time I see a parent, they look like they are having the worst time. I mean, I'm not joking. I saw this woman sitting there with her three kids, and you could see the daughter was just yapping away. And again, she's a teenager at this point. Then she has like 10-year-old and a 7-year-old or whatever. And the mom had just glazed over. Like she had gotten
Every time I see a parent that has like 4 or 5 kids, they're always like, stop at 2. They always tell me stop at 2. That's
okay,
like,
right. That's like the number you just, that's it. Yeah. Any more than that, what's his name had the best, Jim Gaffigan had the best joke about having a third child. He said, it's like you're drowning and someone throws you a baby. And I was like, that's fucking genius. That's my favorite thing about having three kids. But yeah, it just never looks like they're having fun. Dads look fucking like, I see them at the airport and they are just snapping at each other. It's like, why you got a problem with that? Is that not good enough for you? You know, like, it's just over.
No, dude, it's the greatest thing in the world. It really is, for real.
I don't believe you.
No, I know. I've actually been there. There's nothing better than having your kid, like, just be so excited to see you and see them. It's like every drug I've ever done.
Saying there aren't great moments.
No.
That sounds like one of them.
No, I mean, first of all,
10 minutes later, you're like, can I not play Dollhouse with you right now?
No, of course.
I just walked in the fucking door from Orlando.
It's yin and yang, bro. I mean, there's always going to be, high and low, but I'm telling you, it's the greatest. By the way, that picture is so disturbing, by the way, of you when you were younger.
Yeah, right? That one over there, the giant one of me.
So my dad's visiting this week from Connecticut, and you know, my dad smokes a lot of weed, lots of weed. And so we go to Universal Studios, right? And he gets up and I could smell him before, like 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, oh, you know, you wake and bake, blah, blah, blah. So we go in there to Universal and, you know, I got free tickets because I know a friend who's, the good thing about being a comic is you have friends that work in like tour guides at Disneyland or tour guides there. And then I give them spots for, I'm exchanging spots for Sparks tickets.
Wow, that's nice.
Spots for that. Anyway, so we're going through security. My dad's like, oh no. I'm like, let me guess, you brought your weed. And he's like, yeah. So now we're like, I'm like worried that, so now I got to take my dad. He has like a tinfoil thing of like all these joints.
Oh God. So yeah. And that's going to set off the metal detectors and everything. Like that's
I put it in my daughter's bag. I put it like in my daughter's, like basically her, it says her name. It's all sparkly. Cause I'm like, here, dad, give it to me. Right. And then of course, ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, oh great. Like this is, I'm going to get kicked out because of my dad's marijuana.
Your child is going to get arrested.
My child's going to get arrested. So my dad's like, so the lady's like, oh, let me look through this and finds these like sparkling water cans. Instead, like she's like, is this alcoholic? I'm like, no, it's probably, like, oh, okay, I thought it was alcoholic. And that's what she was worried about. Not like the tinfoil thing that said marijuana on it. I mean, literally, clearly says like KC, you know, 4,000%. I mean, it just was like, it was pretty, but we did everything, you know, it was fun. It was fun because
you wonder why your wife gets mad at you sometimes. And I'm like, your decision-making is suspect at best.
But of course, one of the rides at Universal, I forgot what ride it was, the Secret Life of Pets ride, which is what all they do is advertise Secret Life of Pets. So, meanwhile, to get on this ride, right, you have to go on an app and create an appointment, right, for the line. Like, you can't even wait on the hour line. There's no line. You have to go, you have to download the app and then get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and then be like 11:30. Like that's the type of not. So then I get there, and of course, you know, Violet wants to go on it because we were on the whole water thing, right? The whole splash pad, but someone shit in it. A little kid shit in the splash pad. So everyone had to get kicked out of the splash pad for like an hour and a half because they were removing.
You are making my argument for me. I'm sorry. You are not convincing me otherwise, but continue with this grand adventure.
So we go to the Secret Life of Pets, and my phone died. And I'm like, oh, we have an appointment, but my phone's dead. The appointment was like at 6:30. It was like 2 p.m, right? So I'm like, my phone's dead, but we have a 6:30. We have a 2 o'clock appointment. And the guy thought about it. And he's like, sorry, man. Maybe you could go charge your phone. It's $25 up there at the station or something. You know, so then the guy like turns around. So I just sneak my daughter on it. We just sneak on.
You just go. Yeah. And you know, at the end of the day, they don't give a fuck. You get past, they know what's going to tackle you, be like, no, in the name of Universal, you can't trespass and cut the, no, they don't give a fuck. It's like the guys at the movies when you're sneaking in food. They don't actually give a fuck.
No, it's
I said, the guy in front of me had sushi fall out of his shirt. And the him and the guy, we all just stared at him. He goes, and he put it away. And the guy was like, get the fuck in there. Like, he didn't care.
So then all of a sudden, 3 seconds later, my dad's online. I'm like, Dad, how did you get in here? He goes, same way you did. I taught you well, kid. So my dad also stuck in. But then we went to the whole pet exhibit, right? They had a pet show. And I don't know, maybe because, like, there's all these animal rights people, which is great. Right. But they're making the shows a lot worse, maybe because they can't beat the animals, which is great. I'm happy the shows are worse, but now the animals don't do anything. Literally, like the lady's like, watch this dog sit. And the dog wouldn't sit. Like the dog wouldn't sit. Like they got 2,000 people watching a dog not sit.
Not do any tricks.
No. Nothing.
There was California. California.
Because I think back in the day when they beat the animals, the animals would fucking put on a whole fucking show. They'd sing and dance and
totally, don't get me wrong. All kinds of tricks back in the day.
Which is terrible. I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying the show is a lot. It's just
well, it's one of those things. You just don't want to know how it's made. You know? Just like plastics, cheap fucking shit that you buy that comes from China that, you know, in your heart. Even the iPhones manufactured by children in China. You don't want to know how their sausage is made. You just want the sausage.
Man. So anyway, that was that. I was sick all weekend in Houston because I got like an hour of sleep and no sleep. And then I was like, have you ever done a show where you're like, I don't know, like your goal is to just get through the show? Like, which is like the worst.
Yeah.
That's just the worst type of show. You're just like, let me just get to this fucking show.
That is the Sunday show in Vegas after a whole week at the Strat. I'm just going to get up there, say the words, get the fuck off stage and go home.
But it was still, there were still great shows, but I was like, my voice was gone. So I'm just drinking water just to get the fucking enough voice.
And I'm on.
So you know how you're on DayQuil, my whole face is clogged. Like I'm going like this and I'm just popping. I can't hear myself because my ears are clogged. It was just one of those.
Sounds like a great show.
The show actually was good.
Sure. You know, it's okay to say you didn't have your best show.
No, the shows were good. I think sometimes.
I don't buy it. I don't believe the parenting is awesome. And I don't believe you had a great show.
Listen, there are times, I don't know if you can relate, where you're so fucked up that you don't think.
Oh, I can relate.
And then because you don't think the shows are good, you have nothing.
No, that's true. Sometimes those are actually my best show, that shitty Sunday show that I go into it thinking, okay, just fucking say the words again. Somehow it turns into my most relaxed, fun, you know, interactive show.
By the way, I thought about you because I know Craig Robinson's show got shot up.
Yeah, I know. I was texting you at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh my God, what the fuck am I reading here? What happened? He's like, yeah, man, don't worry. Nobody got hurt. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh my God. I mean, because normally you're like one of the openers for those shows.
Yeah, I've toured with them quite a bit. Yeah.
What would you have done if a guy came with a gun?
Ran. What do you think? I'm not trained. I didn't watch that guy on TikTok. I'm not, I don't know. No. This is someone else's job. I'm the entertainment. I'm not the savior. I can't save you. I'm not pretending to save you. Now, if he's pointing it at me and my wife, I'll get in front of my wife. Of but I mean, if someone pulls a gun, I'm gone. I'm George. You know, that was the most honest thing about Seinfeld. When they thought it was a fire and George shoved women and children out the That's me. I'm George. So I would feel like my service would be letting everybody know to run.
Right. By the way, I told you about this bunny situation I have. You know the bunny?
Yes.
So now everyone that came to my party was like, you have to get another bunny. You can't have one bunny, right? So we go to the pound. We get two. They're like, you have to get two bunnies because they come as a pair. So we get two. And the one bunny that I have that me and my daughter found at the park isn't fixed. So right away, he's fucking all the bunnies. Like the other ones are fixed. And it's just nonstop, you know. And at first we're like, okay, this will die down. My daughter's
crying. You realize in his mind, you gave him two concubines.
Right.
Like in his mind, he's like, finally, thank you.
Like, then we look at her back. The girl's back's all scratched up, you know, so we got to separate them. And we go to the thing. It was $1,500, they're saying, because it's an exotic animal in California to fix a bunny. So right away, I'm like, well, listen, we'll just make her unfuckable. Like, we'll fatten her up. Maybe we'll, you know, give her like a lesbian haircut, you know, that whole thing. Maybe that'll work, you know. That didn't work. So now next Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the morning, I have to be online to get my bunny fixed. This dude, he's going to get so mad at me.
I'm going to go on record and say, you shouldn't be a parent. You really... Nothing you say.
First of all, I'm saving these stories for the show, but
I know I'm just messing highlights. With you.
All right, so the UFC announced
it. And by the way, wait a minute. I would also like to go on record as saying I actually seen you with your daughter. You're actually a marvelous father. Congrats. You're incredibly caring and loving. You care more than you I could ever describe. It, you know, I'm actually wildly impressed.
You should get a
with
kid,
how man. Great a dad you are. There, that's the truth, and that should be said.
Thank you. Meanwhile, last night, my wife and I went to the dime bar, and Violet was asleep at like 5 after Universal, and I thought she was gonna get knocked out the whole night because she did 100 things. And my dad's like, "What if she wakes up?" I'm like, "Didn't you have 3 kids? Like, like, shouldn't you know this?" And he's like, "Well, what am I gonna do? Hang out with her?" I'm like, "Put her back to sleep." But I'm like, "She won't." So me and my wife and I were coming back from the dime, and Bree's like, "Oh, she's definitely asleep." I call up. Hello, she answers the phone, right? and my dad said she woke up and cried because I didn't wake her up and say goodbye. She had my dad's like, she's like, I thought you were the most stubborn kid. He's like, she's just as stubborn. He's like, she was crying, she had a tantrum because I wasn't there. And it was funny because my dad was like, this kid's perfect. This kid's so easy. I'm like, Dad, you don't understand it. You're seeing her. Just wait. And then my dad said that, like, he goes, holy shit. He goes, he was singing, I don't want to hear your music. Well, I want daddy, daddy, where is daddy? You know, I just, why did he say goodbye to me? It was a whole thing.
I have a feeling your daughter tried marijuana for the first time last night.
I told my dad, I said,
but I think on accident.
I said, make sure we take that edible can out of her school bag, because all of a sudden we don't want the teacher being like, oh, what'd you bring today for lunch? And it's like 7 joints. Anyway, so it got signed. Nate Diaz versus Chimaev is now.
I know, that's a big deal, baby.
I hope Nate Diaz wins. I would
get murdered. Are you kidding me? I want a good fight. Go ahead.
I would like so much, because it's his last fight. They're trying to build up Chimaev. You know, he beats Nate Diaz. He's next in line for the title shot. that, you know, if he goes out and murders him, it's a money fight. The UFC, I think, is banking on, like, this is our next guy. This is our next Khabib 3.0, right? If Nate Diaz goes out there, just knocks him the fuck out. Dude, first of all, he's got to fight.
That's not going to happen, though. That's not going to happen. That's not in the realm of possibility.
It's always in the realm of possibilities.
No, it's not. Here's the two, because he doesn't have that kind of knockout power.
He hurt Leon Edwards in the fifth round when he had no power left. I mean, he didn't finish him. He stopped Gray Maynard. I mean, he's dropped some people, but go on.
I wouldn't say that he's dropped some people, but he doesn't have knockout power. He doesn't. He has classic, and he isn't going for it either. They like volume. They like touching you. They like punching you up and, you know, having a scrap. Yeah. I think it's going to be one of two ways. It'll either be a brilliantly violent fight or a very boring fight where Chimaev takes him to the ground and wrestles him, stays on top of him, and eventually submits him in the second or third round.
I don't know about them submitting Nate Diaz. I don't think he's ever even been submitted, Nate Diaz.
I don't know he's ever been up against a guy like this.
He's going on against some really good jiu-jitsu guys, and he's really good on the ground, and he's really dangerous on the ground. But you're right.
But the only guy like this is Khabib. Did he ever fight Khabib?
No, and he's probably going to be like a minus or, you know, minus 500. What is it, plus 500?
Plus 500. He'll be plus 500.
Probably be a plus 500. It'll be something insane. Right?
It'll be insane. It'll be
the
insane.
The point where people are going to be like, you know what? You never know, you know, but.
Totally, yeah. Listen, and if I'd seen him have, you know, knock people out, I'd be like, you never know. But
Nate Diaz loves playing the spoiler. He knows he's in for this fight. And I think he would love nothing less, because they're counting on he's probably like, listen, they go, he loses there, he goes out and he fights Jake Paul for fucking $1 million, $2 million or something, and then he's like, he doesn't give a fuck if he loses a boxing match because he doesn't think it's a fight anyway. I mean, I'm sure he cares, but it's like, in a fight he would fucking, you know, wreck Jake Paul. That probably would. But I don't know, man. I'm definitely rooting for Nate Diaz. I'm as a fan, I'm rooting for Nate Diaz. I want him to win, but you're right. The people that say Nate Diaz ducks people, doesn't fight, for him to be like, fuck it, I'll fight Chimaev, is pretty badass.
It is kind of wild that this is the fight he's getting back in the ring, in the octagon for, because it's not a great fight for him, but, you know, I mean, he probably will make a ton of money on it. So there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I mean, if it literally were anyone else in the division besides Chimaev, I might be a little more optimistic about it. But he's cold-blooded. The guy's cold-blooded.
But he didn't look good his last fight.
It was a good fight. That guy, he put up a great fight, though. Who was it? What's his name? He was surprisingly resilient. Who was the last guy?
I was trying to think of that too, who he fought last, and I couldn't think.
Yeah, let's look it up. Where is it?
The fight that he didn't look, he looked very beatable his last fight. So Chimaev, his last fight, he fought what's his name? He fought
Gilbert Burns. Right. And here's the thing is, I wouldn't say he looked very beatable. I think he fought somebody that was incredible in Gilbert Burns and still managed to take him out and beat him. So, I mean, I see Gilbert Burns as a much bigger challenge than Nate Diaz.
No, I know. I'm just, as a fan, and I'm going my heart, and, you know, look, a lot of guys, you know, we're like, I remember Usman, hey, I want to do stuff with you. Well, come on the podcast. And then all of a sudden Usman gets big and you can't reach him. Nate Diaz has always been like the same dude. Like, you know, so which is pretty cool. Now, another fight that's going on is Islam versus Oliveira. That got announced too.
Yeah, that's another great one.
Crazy fight. Islam's a big favorite. Are a decent favorite. People are saying Islam. I'm thinking Oliveira wins this. I think Oliveira has hit his prime. And I think that people they think Khabib is Islam. They go, oh, Khabib is Islam. Islam is Khabib. Islam's a great fighter, but there's only one Khabib. And I think that Oliveira is going to win this fight. I think he has more weapons. He has more weapons. And I think he wins this fight. Call me crazy. I think he wins. Greg.
I honestly can guarantee you Makhachev is going to win this fight. And I'll tell you why, because I have bet against Oliveira every time and he proves me wrong and I'm going to bet on him this time. So he's totally going to fucking lose. Although I did win that sixth fight parlay this last weekend, so I guess I'm not always wrong.
How nice. Yeah. What, you want $1,000?
No, I only bet 10. It was a 6-fight parlay. I won $332 on it.
Nice. What site did you use?
I was at the South Point.
Oh, got it.
So I live bet it, and I hit 6 out of the whole card.
Dude, the worst is when I do a parlay, because I always lose the first one.
And that's the worst. And then, of course, you win the next 5.
My next 4 come in, and then, I'm rooting against my guys.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
Now I want my guys to lose, because I don't want to be like, I'm such an idiot. So then I'm like, do I go back there and just bet the rest of them? Like, do I bet another?
That's what I do. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I still believe in the other ones. And I go back, because sometimes it's whatever one you were iffy about. And then you're like, you know what? Okay. These were the ones I felt really certain about. I'm just going to parlay those ones.
Yeah. But then, but I don't do $10. I do $100 parlay to win 14,000 or something.
Well, like, that's on you, man. That's on you. Small stakes is the way to go, baby.
Come on, man.
You get the thrill of victory and much less pain.
Yeah,
in
but
defeat.
You win a $14,000 parlay at $100. That covered like all your bets you ever made plus another whatever. You win $300 and it's like, eh.
Yeah, but I'd rather win $300 a couple of times than constantly lose hundreds of dollars trying to win 14 grand. I mean, I don't look at it the way you look at it.
Yeah, but then you post it. You post that 14 parlay and you look like a fucking badass. You go, look at this. You only post your winnings. All right. Last week, by the way, Ortega. Man, I know Ortega's shoulder gave out, but he wasn't looking great. I thought Yair was winning that fight. He had the speed advantage. He was landing more. I looked like he was on his way to win that fight, to be honest. Ortega's shoulder popped out, which was fucking scary. And I thought Yair was a really good sport by saying, let's run it back. And who knows? I mean, Ortega's one of those guys never out of a fight either. But it looked like Rodriguez was on his game and just a little bit better than Ortega for that.
But it still was really early. And Ortega was just kind of beginning to get his feet, you know, his game going. You know, like he was kind of taking control of the grappling right there when the shoulder came out. But totally agree. I had picked Rodriguez in my parlay. Like I was convinced. I called it on the fucking podcast. It just felt like the kind of fight Ortega was going to lose, and he did. So
well, I mean the thing about it though is I don't even consider that a win for a year. Like some guys would like jump around and like celebrate and
yeah, you know. No, that's true, because it's sort of like a default. But the thing is, Ortega again, I once that shoulder happens again, I don't know how much more fighting he can do without that happening almost every time. I mean, that seems like one of those repetitive style injuries that once that starts happening in live fire, I think people just attack that, and every time I don't see a big future for Ortega right now.
I say about that, how like you get a really hot chick and
your career's over.
I mean, you look at like from the get-go. I mean, you look at, remember like Diddy was like dating J-Lo and just was like just bombing. And then the other one was dating J-Lo. Like, was it like Derek, or was it Derek Jeter?
No, it was Alex Rodriguez.
Oh, A-Rod had like a huge, like, and then it was all these guys like Mariah Carey, when he was with Jeter, he went like over. Dude, they changed the rule in baseball because he would go to opposing games and they would start playing Mariah Carey songs like while he was warming up. And he got Major League Baseball to say they couldn't do that, which was pretty, I mean, that's crazy. I mean,
yeah.
Think about that. They were playing like Honey every time he's in the batter's box.
That's great. I think you should totally be allowed to do that. That's fantastic.
But yeah, there's a whole like, so remember Ben Affleck, the first time he was with J-Lo, it was just like bomb after bomb after bomb. I mean, even that singer that I think it's all J-Lo now, but there's other things where it's like wherever you get like a super hot chick.
Who, Mark Anthony?
Yeah.
That guy?
What happened to him? He like looked like a
coach. He's still an international superstar, but he did look anorexic during the thing. Like she was just slowly sucking the life out of him. He was just getting thinner and thinner as she fucking killed him.
I feel like it's too much maintenance. These girls that are just smoking hot, and it's just like, plus maybe you get that was the whole goal of growing up too. Like you reach the goal. When you hit the goal, yeah. Like what else? So I don't know. It just seems
well, that, you know, again, to quote Mickey from Rocky, women weaken legs.
It's true. Like you look at like guys with like average girlfriends, or their careers are doing very.
They do great. Their careers do quite well.
All right. So Lauren Murphy beat Misha Tate. And I was happy for Lauren Murphy because, you know, obviously we know her background. I'm not going to repeat it for the 80th time, which, by the way, I talk about how she used to be a heroin addict. And I go, you know, so just go say, do heroin. And people write like, she looks like a meth. Like, fuck you. Like, don't write that shit on my Instagram. I just delete the comments that are just like really shitting on her looks. Because first of all, she's a very pretty girl. And you see her in person. She's very sexy, sweet as hell, cute as hell, big ass titties, nice butt. And there's no reason to just shit on this person's looks. Like, what are you getting for out of that? It's just, come on. What are we doing here? Maybe, I don't know. Look, you can go back and find, well, you used to shit on. True. This is very true. But I've evolved as a human being.
That's right. So you guys evolved too. God damn it.
And she's my friend.
If we evolved, you got to evolve. And everyone have a baby.
Everybody, there's other reasons to shit on people. So, yeah, I was happy for her. Misha Tate, man, I don't know. She just didn't. Something's going on with Misha Tate. She's not.
Yeah, she's retired. That's when all. I mean, why is she fighting again? I thought she was done. I mean, I knew it. That was one of the easiest picks of the night because I'm like, she's not in rhythm. When was the last time she fought? I mean, it's. I don't know. I was surprised to see her there, and I thought it was definitively going to be a Lauren Murphy fight.
Her first comeback fight was against a girl, I forgot her name. She was like super hot too, from like, I think she's from Belize or something, the Belizean Bruiser. But that girl was also like 43 years old, and she was a school teacher.
Yeah.
So it's what, you know, when you get to that next level. The next level, you know, it's just going to be.
And Lauren Murphy's in rhythm. She's been fighting. She's been training. She's been winning. So this was, I mean, to me, this lined up great for her and horrible for Misha. It felt like they just dragged her up as a name. Like, we got to give her some kind of a name to help, you know, Lauren, you know, become a bigger name.
There's also something to said about, you know, Misha Tate's been doing this since probably high school, college. Lauren Murphy, like we said, started when she was like 24, 25. And a lot of times when you start young, you know, it just takes a lot. When you're hit 40 and you've been doing it since you were 16 years old.
Yeah.
Fucking lot. And you have two kids and then you know whatever else. It's just a lot. Like, there's something to be said for lack of experience, obviously hurts you, but also lack of damage and new and freshness and having kind of, it's like having a brand new car versus a car that you've had for 30 years. And so a lot of these people that get in late, even like Vince Michel, who's supposed to be on the show today, but he got in late, but he's doing better than guys that started when they were fucking six because they're burned out. They've been cutting weight since they were nine or 12 or, you know,
yeah.
They've had 400 fucking wrestling matches in high school and college and everything else. And Vince hasn't. That's a lot of wear and tear. It's a lot of fucking wear and tear. So there is something to be said about some of these people that get in late because they have less damage. Daniel Cormier was a perfect example. I know he wrestled in high school and college. He got an MMA late. He didn't take the punches till he was 30 or 20.
Right. Yeah. Which that's some significant damage. We're taking shots to the head. That's especially in a developing head. I mean, come on. No one under, you know, 20 some odd years old should probably be taking shots to the head.
No, you see it all the time.
But they do. Yeah,
it's boxing. It's like, yeah, great.
Young boxing prospects, they're like, doom, doom, doom. And it's like, oh, yeah. But, you know, if that's what you love, you know.
The Matt Snell comeback was one of the best comebacks I've ever seen in my life. At the same time, like, he's got to go back to the drawing board and be like, we got a lot to work on. Because he was almost finished, fucking like, it was amazing.
It was, because it was like, he was down, and then he knocked Samardzija down, and then Samardzija took him down, but then he managed to reverse him somehow. That was an exciting, wild round.
Yeah.
I mean, the fight itself, but round two was, I mean, wow. That was a great, and of course, fight of the night for obvious reasons. Yeah. But yeah, for Matt Schnell, you're lucky to come out of there with a W. You can't walk out of that going, who's next? You know? So
I don't know. I feel like he's from Louisiana. I feel like it's exactly what he's doing.
No, I think he is. But I mean, yeah. He should be thinking, okay, there's some things I need to work on because that guy almost got me like three times. So
Ricky Simone, who I love because I told you, I'm like, he's going through his transition and he wrote like, bro, what the fuck? And then it was like, but Ricky Simone looked amazing in his fight and he called out O'Malley. Now that would be a great fight. Because this is the first guy who wrestled, who's a real wrestler, and who is in his prime. It seems like O'Malley, you know, he beat Eddie Wineland. His last fight that ended by eye poke, that was something. It seems like he's beating a lot of guys that are sort of towards the tail end or aren't wrestlers or strikers or whatever. This dude versus O'Malley.
It almost sounds like they were handpicked to build him up in the UFC. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying that's you certainly make a.
This would be a good fight because if he could beat Ricky Simone, which maybe he can. I mean, the guy hits fucking hard. He's like
totally, and he's a tough motherfucker.
5'11" I mean, O'Malley. I'm talking about. He's 5'11", 130.
I'm talking about Ricky.
Saying Ricky's a tough motherfucker. That would be a great main event fight for. Like a
I
fight
agree
night.
With that. I totally agree with that. That would be a hell of a fucking fight.
Because I mean,
and I think Ricky wins it.
I think Ricky wins it, but I think people underestimate how hard O'Malley hits because he's so tall. He's 5'11", 130 pounds.
He's got great, incredible reach for the division, that's for sure.
And he knows how to throw his punches. And I've watched him spar. How he fights is how he spars. Like head up, fucking this, doing crazy shit. I mean, he learned how to fight watching YouTube videos. That's what he's doing. He's like a Mortal Kombat character in real life. But Ricky Simone is a throwback fighter.
Yeah.
That's a guy that you could see in any UFC, in the history of UFCs or Pride. Obviously, you wouldn't have the weight classes, but Ricky Simone is that guy. Tough, fucking durable, badass fighter. And so I would love to see it. What are you laughing
Can I tell you, because you were talking about back in the day when they didn't have weight division stuff. So I went back, I think I watched UFC 2 or UFC, like I was just bored. I was like, and I clicked it on and the little bowling ball Asian guy that just gets punched in the balls like 20 times.
Dude, that guy, you know who that guy is, right? That's Joe San, who's in number 2 in Austin Powers. The guy that throws his shoe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Then he went to jail for gang rape. He raped a couple people. He's in jail for life. And then I think he raped somebody in jail or murdered someone in jail. He that dude's like the worst human being ever. But yeah, that was the guy that. Goes,
well, you know, I feel like life gave him the punishment for all that in advance. Maybe he was just like, you get punched in the balls 19 times and see how you act.
Dude, the funniest is like after that, they were like, new rule. No more punching in the balls.
They're like, I know. I'm watching it. I'm just like, I'm like, oh my God. They're like, no rules. Do what you want. And I mean, just hammering his nuts. And I'm like, oh my God. No wonder people fucking hated this at the beginning. This is fucking ridiculous. And then, immediately they changed that rule because all you had to do was pin a guy and punch him in the nuts over and over.
Well, they said like the first UFC, like the first event, they had no idea what happened. And they're sitting there and within like 30 seconds, the guy's tooth goes flying in the fourth row. And people were like, they had all these ideas for the first one. They were going to have it like on like an island with like a moat. And they were going to have like sharks around it. And, like they had all these different ideas. By the way.
And then they were like, or we could save a bunch of money and go to the Tulsa County Fair.
By the way, that guy Punahale Soriano, who won, this is the funniest celebration I've ever seen. You see what he did after he won? This was on TV. He's like downing a cock. Like,
I gotta be honest here. I wish we had McCorkle right now. This is this is for sure McCorkle territory. Hey, well, if you look in the background, you see Bruce, his face, look at the video, show the video again, show, cause you see, look right there. There's no, he doesn't look upset about that. I mean, that's as happy as Bruce Buffer can possibly look.
I mean, tell me you wouldn't start dying if you were there. Like, if I was,
I might tackle him like a ref trying to stop the fight. Like, hey. They're going to put this on MMA Roasted.
First of all, he practiced that too. You know, he was like in the mirror.
Oh, clearly that he thought that he's like, this is my celebration. I'm wondering if he expected the can to open and him to actually pour, like he won the World Series or some shit, you know, and like he wanted to just pour shit all over, but then nothing came out of the can. So he's like there's liquid, but there's no liquid. He's like, I mean, I don't know. That's what,
and I just, and I know people get mad at me for doing this way, but when I post a video of it, actually the thing gets ripped down. So this is the only way that I can show this without having to have,
right.
By the way, Ween Dog, who's killing it right now, working for a lot of companies, but anyway, he's doing really well, but he also does our editing and puts the stuff up. So then he has to put it up, rip it down. He has to like try to code it, this, all this shit. And then it's just a pain in the ass. Anyway, Dana White had the funniest interview. Like watching Dana get annoyed is like the funniest principle. Like, so they kept asking this. It's funny. I'll just play the interview. This guy. So here you go. He asked him about Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz says he only wants to fight Ngannou or Israel Adesanya. Those are the only two guys that interest him, right?
Who said that? Nate?
Nate Diaz.
Okay.
So a reporter asked Dana about the meeting. He said he told Dana he just wants Ngannou or Israel. So like, here you go. This is on MMA Junkie, which, by the way, I love those guys.
He said in an interview that he said the only opponents in the UFC he'd like to fight or interested in was Ngannou and Adesanya. Do you remember that meeting? And what was your reaction when he said that?
That Nate Diaz said Ngannou and Adesanya?
Nate said the only guys in the UFC he'd like be interested in fighting was Ngannou and Adesanya, but it's not that he wanted to fight them, just they were the only best ones in the sport right now. So.
And what should I say to that?
I'm curious what your reaction was when you say that. Do you just sort of go, okay?
Yeah, I mean, imagine having a fucking conversation. Come on. Nate Diaz versus Francis Ngannou.
Yeah, what is this, UFC 4?
Is that what, like, fucking standard? Like, holy shit, this is crazy. Yeah,
that's pretty fucking great. That's pretty great. He's like, why are we even talking about this?
What should I fucking say?
Yeah.
And of course somebody photoshops it. Of course somebody says, I don't know what the holdup is, and somebody makes Can you imagine? They were like, you know what, fine. And they just had Nate Diaz. I mean, I would root for Nate Diaz. And so Ngannou responded to it. And sort of Nate Diaz going, I don't know, I guess Ngannou's on the shelf. He's been injured for 6 months. That's why I don't know what the confusion was. I mean, Dana White must have the hardest, I mean, one of the best jobs, but having to deal with 500 of the most craziest motherfuckers in the world.
Well, and that's what I was thinking about. That this is a guy who every minute of his time, every day is so valuable. He has so many people he has to talk to about so many things every fucking day. And here he is, and he's got to answer this. Like, why? I'm not here to answer Fantasyland questions. We got 30 real fights coming up. I got 30 more after that. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? I'm annoyed by it.
Dude, I was laughing. I was laughing so fucking hard. I was laughing also because Henry Cejudo sometimes, like, I help him out with his Twitter a lot. And then one time, Dana in an interview was like, this fucking guy's Twitter is out of fucking control. I don't know what... He's like,
and you're just like, doo-doo-doo.
He's like, he's tweeting all kinds of crazy shit. Like,
and you're just like, oh, I know that guy.
And then Volkanovski's like, this guy's lost his fucking mind. This guy's Twitter is fucking nuts. Like, Anyway, so I felt bad for Gilbert Burns' brother, Herbert, because he came to my show a week before, and he was ready. He said his leg gave out. His leg completely fucking gave out during the fight, and they looked like he was exhausted. He said he couldn't get up because of his leg. I'm going to believe him. I mean, but I felt like it might have been one of those things where his leg was fucking completely done. And then everyone's, you know, saying that he's, saying that he's hurt. So it's just like, man, I did feel bad for him though. Holy shit. He goes, this is hard. He goes, I lost serious knee injury. My knee gave out first takedown, part of life. I'll focus on my recovery. Thank you so much. Ugh, fuck, that sucked. And then Dustin Jacoby won. Jessica Penny lost, which sucks. So tonight on Invicta, which is now on Access TV, you never know what Invicta is. They should tell people this, but a couple fights are coming up.
And also, you know, tell us where to find Access TV.
I have Access TV.
Do I have Access TV?
It used to be HDNet, Mark Cuban's company.
All right.
They actually have really good concerts on it. Like amazing concerts.
That was always his concept behind Access, was to be like a live big concert channel.
Dude, they have concerts that I'm like, holy shit, this is amazing. I I'll go watch The Who or whatever it is, or Guns N' Roses live in concert, or Pink Floyd. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, so it's just pretty cool. Bon Jovi, you know, bands that I like. So Kira Batera is fighting on it tonight. Kira is a girl that we've had on the show a couple times. I knew her when she was like 17. Her mom was her manager. She had a career in combate. Then she sort of like found a whole different side to her. She was doing OnlyFans. She had four houses.
And then she realized, why am I making money with these when I can make money with that?
Dude, like, literally, she showed me what she was making. Because I was like, you know how people always like, I'm making this, I'm making that. I didn't even ask. I think maybe she felt like she had to show me, which I kind of felt bad that she felt this need to have to show me. But she showed me, dude, she was making like more money than people make in 6 months to a year in like a month on OnlyFans. She had four houses.
And you know what, though? And God bless her for it, you know, because, I hope she holds on to that money, saves it, invests it. She's buying four houses. That's smart. It's a great place to put your money because you can't sell it at that price forever. So, make all you can right now. I'm all for it.
She also started to become, I think she's now bisexual, or she did the threesomes. I mean, this is the stuff that she's posting on online, stuff like that. And I knew her when she was young. Like, she was just like a kid that came to my show.
Right. Wasn't she the one that like was the super like she was a young phenom in jiu-jitsu? Was it jiu-jitsu or?
Yeah. And then she got into she got into.
Didn't we interview her on the show?
Plenty of times.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, then she started to get into like partying and pro wrestling, and then they cut her in Invicta. I'm not really sure why. She started having these crazy house parties. I'm just like, oh my God. But she's, I feel like I'm watching her grow up a little bit. You know how you watch a kid go through their like fucked up phase? Not a kid, but, so she's happy. But anyway, she's fighting tonight. And I hope she wins. I really hope she wins. She's writing a pretty
good. I feel like I watched her grow up and now she's showing her clam on the internet.
She's having fun. This is what she's doing. And
I ain't mad at her. But I didn't watch her grow up either. I got to pick it up at the good part. I didn't watch the first 16 seasons. I picked it up right in season 16, 17 when it got good.
I mean, I've always tried to get her back into fighting because I'm like, you have your whole life to do this. If you're listening to this on the thing, she's putting dildos in her mouth and vibrators and making out with girls and having people take body shots off her and kissing people.
Dude, she went. Yeah, she's one. She's a girl gone wild.
Yeah, she's. I mean, she's having a lot of fun with her life. People have to have. God bless her. But at the same time, she's. I'm happy that it didn't go into. It could have went way darker than that. She's fighting again. I think as long as she stays fighting, look, I'm not against having fun. You want to have a threesome or you want to party, great. But at the same time, like, if you're blessed with a certain talent that you're obviously good at, she was a, like a state champ wrestler, she was this and that, just give it your best shot. You want to make sure you give it your best shot. You don't want to go look back and be like, yeah, you know, I was, because right now she's like 9-6 or something. Her record isn't that great. And she's probably could look back and be like, you know, I didn't take it as seriously as I should have. And based on the video, she's not. You know, if I'm fighting someone and I see them doing body shots and making out with girls and putting dildos in their ears, I'm probably thinking I got a pretty good shot of winning this fight. But
yeah, if I was a betting man, I don't know. I think I'd be betting against a dildo lesbian action.
At the same time, this is how she should come
now
out.
To keep it down to say that not that I wouldn't bet on a dildo lesbian fighter. I was saying the dildo lesbian action. The one that's currently broadcasting, like her major career is currently dildo lesbian action, then that's maybe not the fighter that I'm betting on. See, it's very nuanced commentary on this show.
I mean, at the same time, I think that could be her shtick. Like if she, like, I don't know why she doesn't like merge them. Like if she came out tonight.
Oh my God, stop. No.
She came out with a dildo in her ear, making out with a chick on the way to the octagon in fucking lesbian gear, you know, with a, you know, just making it like rainbow glitter and like.
Wasn't that a porn series called Sweet Submissions?
It was called Ultimate Surrender. But. the winner fucks the loser.
By the way, it was called Ultimate Surrender. And I know they only made 30. And they only made 32 of them. So
I know people that did it. And like legitimately, they thought it was going to be like a fake scripted thing. And some fucking like huge muscle chick beat the shit out of the girl and then just fucked her with a strap on. Like the winner fucks the loser in Ultimate Surrender. And these girls were like, I'm never doing this again. You know?
I can't wait till later tomorrow when Ultimate Surrender's trending on Pornhub.
All right. So also on this card is Autumn Norton, who I knew. She's a lesbian bouncer in Reno. I think she's a lesbian. She came to my show too. But I think she came with her girlfriend. Maybe she came with her boyfriend the next time. So, you know, I think she might be bi or whatever. But she's a bouncer. It's always crazy to see a chick bouncer. You know, like, I think it's kind of hot when you see a... Like,
that is. That's pretty hot. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I remember when I was a shot boy at the Culture Club. I was sell shots back in the 90s, maybe. And
blow dudes?
And I had a pink headband, glitter. A belly shirt that said Shot Boy. And I was in the play before that where I gave lap dances to girls called Birdie's Bachelorette Party. They hired me to work the Culture Club afterwards. And people would always try to steal my fucking pink headband. And these, it was all Jersey Shore guys, Bridge and Tunnel. And they'd be like, yo, what up, you know, fag, blah, 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 blah. And I would go, I was making so much, I would go through like 7 bottles a night. So I was making the club so much money because I would be like, hey, listen, the girls would be like, hey, can we do a shot? This is when I realized that some girls were bad at math because I'd be like, how about this? Instead of giving the bachelorette a shot, if all you do a shot, hers is free. Okay. So now I just made like $100 versus 10, right? And I put the shot either in my mouth or in my crotch, and the girl would get on her knees and take the shot, or from mouth to mouth, right? And people would surround me and see this, and guys would be like, yo, try to take my pig headband and run away with it. So I would just go like this. I would just do one snap, and the bouncer would come and throw the fucking guy out. But I also had like a female bouncer that had a crush on me, but she was like 300 pounds. Jack, I think my wife listens to this. Anyway, so all right. What do you mean?
Dick shots?
Okay, sorry. You want dick shots?
Yeah, she wants in on it. She wants to see the shot boy.
I tried showing her pictures. She wasn't impressed. Now, so also in Bellator this week, they're having another secret fight. Which is great. So think about Bellator. If you don't spend any money on advertising, I guess it doesn't matter if your ratings are bad. They seem to come up with some kind of formula to not let anyone know when the fights are. Or maybe if you don't, if like no one sees you lose, does it count as a loss? But they actually have a great card this week. The card is legit fucking great. Because let me look at it right now. They got some good guys fighting. They got this guy, Jason Jackson, who hasn't lost since 2019 against Ed Ruth, which was a fight I thought he won, against Douglas Lima. He's on a 3-fight losing streak, but those losses are to MVP, Amosov, and Musasi. So, I mean, he beat Rory McDonald before that. He beat MVP before that. He beat Koreshko before that. I mean, this dude's good. He's a really good fighter, and that's a good fight. That's in at the Emerald Queen Casino in Tacoma, Washington. Also, Sydney Outlaw, who was, like, homeless, and then now he's, like, one of the best fighters for Bellator, is fighting a guy named Tofik Musayev. I hope.
Did a girl break his heart, and then he decided to go to the gym and get a revenge body? Is that his story?
Exactly. By the way, Vince Pichel, man, I couldn't fucking I was really trying to get him to be on the show today. He's like, I'm driving. I don't know if I can. I guess I'm fucking, I love Vince, but come on, dude. Also, Chris Gonzalez, who's 7-1, who's fighting Usman Nurmagomedov. I don't know how many Nurmagomedovs there are.
But this one I watch, and this one is like the Ross. You know really? What I mean? The knockoff Nurmagomedov. Yeah, he's like
14-0 though.
Oh, then maybe I'm thinking of a different one. Was there one in? You know what? I think there's one in PFL maybe that has a name like Nurmagomedov.
Yeah, but
it isn't. It's like Nurmagomedov or something.
Yeah, this is.
And I'm like, I see what you're doing.
Then they got Murkmad Burmamakov, who's, I just butchered that. He's 15-1 against Lorenz Larkin. They got Dalton Rusta, who's really good against Romero Cotton. Both those guys are undefeated. This is a good card. This is a sleeper card, of course, because everyone's going to be asleep during it because they don't tell anyone it's on. But it's a legit card. If you're a fight fan, I would watch it. I don't know what Bellator does.
I love the way they're like fan prediction. No picks yet.
Yeah, what? Come on, guys, get it together. What's the point of having all these fucking great fighters if you don't let anyone know when the fights are? I mean, anyway, UFC, London, England. I mean, I get an email from the UFC every time there's a fucking big fight. Bellator should get everyone, buy a mailing list. Anyway, Curtis Blaydes is fighting Tom Aspinall. This guy Aspinall is a monster.
He's on a tear.
Curtis Blaydes seems like that fucking guy that just gets there, but just can't seem to get to that.
And then slides right back down the mountain every time. This is a guy, I've been a fan of his from the very beginning.
Yes.
I love the name. I was like, Curtis Blaydes, motherfucker!
And I like him. He's got a speech impediment. He stutters. He's like super shy. He's a nice guy. You never hear anything bad about him. Comes this guy who has a speech impediment like myself. I root for our fellow stutterers. I hope he wins, but he's fighting in England.
Yeah.
They're gonna, it's not like boxing or football. Boxing, they used to like, they would send hookers to your room.
Sure.
They would give you the wrong fucking thing. They would fuck up your corner. They'd fuck up your hotel. They'd fuck up your ride. Back in the day, it was beyond corrupt. I knew fighters that wouldn't even, they would stay at a different hotel. Because the fans would come and wake you up.
Yeah.
Fans would find out where you fucking stayed at and cheer outside your window at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Now, to that point, though, we've also seen that when they give guys fights in their hometown, it's not always an advantage. Sometimes there's too much pressure, too many requests, too many people around. So, and they end up not having a good fight because they're at home. We've seen this in Houston a couple times where the local guy can just eat, you know, there's too much pressure. All the family's there. Everybody's up his ass. And now I do not think that's going to happen to Tom Aspinall. I really don't. I think he's going to beat Curtis Blaydes' ass pretty good in this one, unfortunately. As much as I love my man, Curtis Blaydes, I think Tom's going to dismantle him.
Well, here's the deal, though. I mean, Curtis Blaydes is a Division II wrestler. He was a stud in wrestling. Obviously, England, their one weakness is in wrestling because they don't have wrestling. It's not, they don't actually, I remember Bisping telling me his kid might make the Olympics in wrestling. His kid's a good wrestler, good college wrestler, but he's not like, he's not Jordan Burroughs, you know? But it's just in England, they don't have that type of thing. Now, that being said, he's got some good submissions, right? He's got three submissions. I know he had a really good Kimura submission, his last one, but what the two losses, right? So he lost in 2016 He lost by illegal downward elbow. So I'm not even counting that because that's not really a loss. But he lost a heel hook to Stuart Austin 7 years ago. So
I was about to say, that sounds like an early career got caught situation. So
yeah, I mean,
you don't see a lot of guys at his size get caught by a heel hook.
But he's never fought a wrestler. He fought Jake Collier, who was a wrestler, I believe. And he beat him by knee and punches. That was 2020. He fought one wrestler. One wrestler. The rest of them have all been strikers. So if Curtis Blaydes can make this a boring fight and just take him down and grind him out, Curtis Blaydes can win this fight. Now, will that happen?
Has Curtis won any fights by submission?
No, but he's won by boring. He seems like he doesn't care if it's boring. That's what's actually good about him. Against the Roses.
I don't think that's gonna. I think he gets murked. I this isn't to me a very good fight for Curtis. I hate to say it. I love Curtis Blaydes, but I think he's gonna go right through him. That's my thought.
Chris Curtis and Jack Hermanson. Chris Curtis is a guy that people were just counting out. They were like, it's over for Chris Curtis, and he's won so many fights in a row. I think he beats Jack Hermanson. I think Jack Hermanson won a couple fights. I think the heel hook against Kelvin Gastelum that came out of nowhere. I think that was like, everyone's like, oh, this is the next big thing. And then he beat Marvin Vettori, but Vettori is a psycho. He beat Edmund Shabazin, but maybe he was a little overhyped. And he lost to Sean Strickland. That was a weird fight. That was like the worst fight ever. He lost to Jared Cannonier back in the day. He beat Jacare. He beat Gerald Mearshart. He's beating a lot of guys. I still think Chris Curtis wins this fight. I think he's found his zone. Now,
I think it's a coin flip. I think they're pretty evenly matched. I think they both have a pretty good shot at winning that one. You know what I mean? They've both kind of been up and down. So I think it's pretty even.
The main one does it before you leave, because I have to leave in a minute.
Yeah.
Paddy Pimblett, Jordan Levitt, the guy who twerks. Basically, I just want him to win so he can twerk and piss everyone off in England, because that would be fucking hilarious. The last thing they want is their guy beating like their hometown hero. I think, is Paddy from England or Ireland?
It says United Kingdom, but that could still be Ireland. So
I think,
I think it normally means England.
Yeah, and he's going to have the whole crowd behind them. You know it. He's a star over there. Now he's got to lose like 50 pounds. He got so fat, that guy. but they got him a guy who, this guy wins weird. Like one of his fights, he basically like just chokeslammed the guy. And just like, it was almost like a WWE move, like an Undertaker tombstone kind of thing, or whatever his move was. If he wins and twerks though, because when he twerked the first time, Daniel Cormier fell out of his chair laughing. It was like Brett Ernst used to have a whole thing about how, like, when black people see magic for the first time, they just go fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's how he was. Wait, there were two times when Cormier just, I lost it, his reaction. When the guy started doing backflips, when the guy started doing, remember that guy who does all the backflips, you know, the guy from Brazil that used to be in the circus?
Right, yeah.
Cormier's like,
what? Or something like that?
Yeah. Cormier's like, what's going on right now? He's like, what? Like, he couldn't believe it. And then when Brian Ortega came out as wearing those masks from that crazy movie that movie that was coming out.
Saw?
No, the other one where they wear like, he's like, what's, there was another one where it spooked him.
Oh.
Where the whole world ends or something.
Yeah.
And then also when he started doing twerking, Cormier was like, he lost it. I don't know if he was stoned or whatever, but you could just tell that he was like on the floor laughing. So I hope he twerks.
Listen,
again.
If I were a betting man, and I am, yes. My money'd be on Paddy Pimblett not making weight.
Yeah.
I think the fight still happens. I just don't think he makes weight. I could see him definitely missing weight.
You got that long flight to England. Anyway, what do you got, Greg, coming up?
This Friday, I'll be at the Well Comedy Club in Bakersfield. So if you're out there in Bakersfield, come by, say hi. Saturday night, I'm doing a private event and for doing a super funny multimedia show. And I think that's what's going on this week, brother.
Nice. This weekend, I will be in Arizona at the House of Comedy. Thank you guys so much. I got to get you in that gig in Houston, by the way. You're going to love it.
I would love to, man. Thank you so much.
I'll put together a group text today.
That'd be awesome.
Take care, guys.
Take care, brother.